can you remain standing, if you would, please? And our scripture reading today is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And it may be a very familiar passage to you. Hopefully it is. But let's read it together in unison from Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is and praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Make it come alive. May your Holy Spirit be our teacher today and encourager. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A couple of weeks ago, I was spending some quality time on my own personal lazy boy chair. I like that chair. I've had it a long time. I was very comfy. My wife was over on the other side on the couch, and she was there with her knitting needles, and I don't know, she was sewing something. And TV was off. Dog was curled in front of the TV. And our little kitten that we just got about a month ago was making a racket out in the other room. And it was just as quiet as can be. When all of a sudden my wife pipes up, and she has a habit of doing this every once in a while, and she asks me, "What are you thinking? What are you thinking?" I said, "Nothing." "What are you thinking?" I said, "Nothing." She said, "It's impossible to think nothing. You got to be thinking something." Well, I said, "I'm thinking nothing." "Well, what kind of nothing?" And I said, "Nothing, nothing." She said, "I don't understand it. You have 3 college degrees, a master's degree, and you're there sitting and you're thinking nothing." Well, I'm sorry, but I'm thinking nothing, and that's just the way it's going to be. And, a conversation went on and on and on like that. And I said, "Well, what are you thinking?" "I'm thinking that you're thinking nothing," she said. I don't know how we ever got into that, but that was one of the most interesting conversations we had in a long time. It kind of came to my attention, I guess, that our thoughts do matter. And when we do think those thoughts, it's important for us to know, what's behind them. I have come to the opinion, I guess, that, it's our thought life is a very important part of who we are. Our thought life is very important in terms of what we're about, what we represent. And it makes up our DNA as to who we are as individuals. Someone said this, that if you think it's easy to change your thoughts, you haven't tried it. And that could be true. Norman Vincent Peale wrote the book, The Power of Positive Thinking. And in that book he said, change your thoughts and you'll change your world. How true that is. And so developing a new way of thinking is the hardest work we'll ever do. Henry Ford said this about thinking. He said, Thinking is the hardest work there is, which is the probable reason why so few engage in it. And there may be a lot of truth to that. Thinking. What is it that's behind your thinking today? My thinking. Well, sometimes I don't understand my own thinking and why I say things and why I do things and why I even think things. I really do believe, though, is that you can sit and vegetate and not think of nothing. I do it. And my wife is just geared in another way. She thinks you've got to be thinking something. And I don't. I think you can just put your mind on pause and not think a thing. Well, taking charge of your thought life is not a one-and-done process. It's an all-day, everyday process. And it's with you every waking moment, perhaps, except for those of us who don't want to think. When I come home sometimes from work or whatever, I just don't want to think anything because I've thought all day. And I just want to set my mind in neutral. It's hard work to think. Some of us have to think in order to do our jobs. Some of us have to think in order to get in a vehicle and drive down the road. We got to be thinking. And sometimes we've got to think ahead of what's before us. Do you know how many thoughts you have each day? Imagine. Well, how many thoughts do you think you would have in the run of a single day? Well, the experts disagree on the exact number, but we're told, this is not me, but we're told between 20,000 and 70,000 thoughts a day. Whew, that plays me out just thinking about it. 20 to 70 thoughts every 24 hours. Even at the lower end of the spectrum, that's a massive number of thoughts to deal with every day of your life, especially when you consider that 90% of our thoughts are repetitive and they are negative in nature. Did you know a good number of our thoughts are negative? A good number of our thoughts are repetitive. I didn't come up with that. Some scientist by the name of Richard Rohr, he wrote a book called The Art of Letting Go. He came up with that statistic. I'm not sure how he discovered it, but that's what he came up with. In other words, we tend to rehash the same junky ideas again and again and again throughout the day, day after day, week after week. Some of it is good, and there's a lot of it that's not so good. It's not a new phenomenon. It's been going on since day one, which is why the Bible tells us again and again that we need to take charge of the way we think, that we need to have our minds under the control, under the lordship of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says that you are to be made new in the attitude of your mind. Your mind is to be made new. Your mind is to be made whole in Ephesians 4, verse 23. In other words, you need to learn to think a new way, in a new way. And he also said, here's another verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. That we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, which is to say, change your thoughts, and you'll not only change your world, you'll change yourself, you'll change people around you, and you'll experience personal transformation when you begin to change your thoughts. He also said that you can be transformed in many, many different ways. In your heart attitude, in your desires, in your goals, in your vision, in your mission. So it sounds easy, doesn't it? Sounds easy until you try it. Sounds easy until you go for the gold. And so it comes down to this, that the kind of thoughts that you entertain throughout the day play a major role in your personal life environment. They really do. Kierkegaard said this, that our life always expresses the result of our dominant thoughts. a very deep, thought-provoking thought, for sure. Your life can either be shaped and molded and formed by your natural inclination towards sinful and negative thinking, or your life can be transformed by a redeemed desire and a renewed way of thinking. Thinking focused on things above, as Paul says in the book of Colossians. Set your minds, he said, on those things that are above. And I'm wondering how many times we really do that. Set our minds on those things that are above. We have a real natural inclination to set our minds on the things that are below. On the things that are self-destructive. On the things that will not do us much good at all. So I think it's appropriate, in light of what's happened this past week, especially in Dallas, with the execution of 5 wonderful police officers, that we begin to think about our thinking. I mean, there's a whole lot to think about here, a whole lot to consider. But I believe our thinking in America has gotten way off course. Our thinking in this country has really been messed up because everybody wants to do nothing but serve themselves instead of looking to the one that we're to serve. Today's subject, I think, is one that presents the biggest challenge because it requires the biggest change. If somehow we get a hold of changing our thinking, imagine what can be done. Imagine what could take place. Albert Einstein said this, that the world we have created is a product of our thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking. It really can't. And that's true in so many different circles. You see, society needs to change its thinking about a lot of things. American culture needs to change its thinking about race, for sure. We need to change our thinking about politics. We need to change our thinking about a whole lot of things, about family, about the things that we take for granted every single day. We need to change our thinking about a lot of these things. And so, I want to just share with you 3 strategies that we can use to help us change the way of our thinking. Very briefly, they're very simple. And I think very appropriate for a day like today, when we look back over this past week and we think it's been a terrible, awful week here in American society. The first thing I want to encourage you to do, and to look at this particular strategy as being important, is this, that we need to be mindful of thought-provoking influences. We need to be mindful of the things that influence us on a daily basis. Now, every now and then, you hear a sermon from the pulpit or a speech, or you'll read an essay or an article, and you'll say, that was interesting, that you had some interesting, thought-provoking ideas. I like reading a good book that gives you some good thoughts, that kind of leads you down the path of, you know, kind of these cliffhanger books. I love those kinds of books. But I love a book that you can sit down and read that will challenge your thinking. You know, I do like cartoons, too, and comic books. I've got a whole bunch of comic books, and I collect comic books. But the fact is that everything we read, everything we see and watch on television, everything we hear or watch is, in some way, it's thought-provoking. In one way or another, either for the good or the bad. And the question is, what kind of thought does it provoke? What kind of thought? Well, I remember a situation a couple of years ago when I worked at Cabela's. A gentleman came in. He came in because he had just watched a TV show. He came in and he bought a gun. He went home and shot his mother. The thoughts that he had were not very positive. And I'll remember that guy because I sold him a knife at my knife counter. And he went over and bought a gun. And then he went home and shot his mother. I think his mother survived. But what a terrible thing to happen. Think of the thoughts that was in that person's mind. You can say, well, would that ever happen to me? Hopefully not. Hopefully never, God forbid. But it's possible that, you know, we could fall victim to how Satan would want to pull the wool right over our eyes and deceive us and destroy us. We need to ruthlessly be selective with how we think and how our selective thinking goes. We need to realize that there's a lot of things out there that influence our thinking. And the media is Satan's tool in these days in allowing those things to happen. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds for action. The battle for holiness begins in the mind. It begins with how you think. So Peter is saying that you need to be ready to deal with all the outside distractions that may come your way. And let me tell you, there's an awful lot of them there. And you need to be, and if you're off course, you need to get back on course. And you need to focus on what you know to be true. The writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to do what we have heard so that we will not drift away. For those of us who have been steeped and grounded and rooted in Scripture, we need to hold on to what God has said and what God has taught us. We need to have the mind of Christ. We need to allow the Word of God to saturate our minds, our hearts, our thinking, and of course our actions. Be ever mindful of what you allow to provoke your thinking. All kinds of horror stories out there, my friends, of people whose minds have been provoked to do terrible, awful things. It doesn't have to be to go out and murder somebody, necessarily. But our minds, we can be provoked to say something to someone that we love and hurt them and destroy their character and say things that are destructive in our relationships. We can do terrible things and cause terrible agony and pain to other people by the things we say. And it leads back to what we think. If you want to break through your natural-born negative thinking bias, then make it a point to fill your mind with uplifting things, with those things that are empowering, those things that are God-honoring, and to make it your ambition, your desire, your goal every day to be filled with the knowledge of the truth which will set you free. Doesn't mean that you bury your head in the sand and ignore what's going on in the world. Doesn't mean that a bit. It means that you don't hang your hat on every word that the world speaks. You hang your hat on the Word of God. You hang your hat on the uplifting, positive, life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That, my friend, is the key and the answer to it all. The message of hope and the message of life-changing liberty that comes through the gospel. And so, that's the first thing I want to remind you about. The second thing is this. The second strategy to change your way of thinking is to declare some thoughts off limits. There are things that we should not entertain. There are some things that we ought to stay away from. There are some things that we ought to avoid like the plague and not even give it the time of day. When it comes to certain thoughts and ideas, you can decide. I simply refuse to go there. Because when you dwell in certain thoughts, it breeds contempt. It is something that affects your heart. It affects your mind. It affects your emotions. It affects your will. And it ultimately affects your actions because many times you carry it out. This is what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. And he said this. He said, I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The principle there is very clear. Thinking the wrong thing, thinking the wrong way about others leads to sin finding its fulfillment. You see, that's something that will wreak havoc in your spiritual walk. That's something that will destroy you. That's something that the devil would love to see for each and every one of us. And I'm here today to warn you, don't give it the time of day. Don't entertain the thought. You see, we have in this country allowed racism to become very much part of our conversation. And, you know, when I see a black person or someone from a different ethnic background, I don't look at color. I look at the content of their character, as Martin Luther King has suggested so eloquently long ago. I look at them as a person. I don't care whether they're black, white, no matter what color they are, no matter what race they come from, no matter what culture they come out of. I try to see them as a human being, as a person that God has created, as someone that God loves. We need to get rid of this color idea. We need to get rid of this racism idea. And we need to bury it once and for all. It would serve every person here today to decide once and for all, I will not entertain any thoughts that's contrary to the will of God. I will not entertain any thoughts that's self-destructive. I will not entertain any thoughts about judging a person in an improper fashion, period. And I will make that kind of thinking, I'll take it off limits. It will not be there. I will intentionally decide in my mind that that's not me, that I won't go there. There are kinds of thoughts and ideas that need to be kept off limits. Psalm 73 says, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Interesting. What's he saying? He's saying, do not think envious thoughts. Do not dwell on jealous ideas. Put that kind of thinking aside. Disregard it. Make it off limits. We have to do that. Jesus said on different occasions, he said, don't worry. Do not worry, he said. He also said, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. We often make the mistake of believing that worry and fear are emotions. But they're not. They lead to negative emotions. They lead to worry, they lead to fear, they lead to anxiety, and that's destructive. And I don't believe God wants us to go that path. I don't believe God wants us to destroy ourselves. We're to think on these things, Paul says. Those things that are mentioned here in Philippians 4. We're to think on them. We're to put all these thoughts aside. And we are to put them off limits. And we're to say, I'm not going there. I'm staying away from that. And I'm going to take the high road as far as my thought life is concerned. There's a sign that I've seen. I saw it once when I was in Honduras on a mission trip. And it says this. Do not even think of parking here. Do not even think of parking here. I don't, you know who ever came up with that particular sign, but that's a good bit of advice for all of us. Don't even think of going there. Don't even think of it. Or, you know, if the sign said, might we suggest that you consider not parking here? Well, what would we do? We'd park there. We'd park there. But don't even give it the time of day. Don't park here. Don't park here. And God may be saying that to us as well. Don't park here. Get rid of these thoughts about color and racism and all these things that are happening in this country today. Get rid of them. And don't even go there. Martin Luther said this. You can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can prevent them from building a nest. How true that is. You can prevent them from building a nest. A good word of advice for all of us. Thoughts will pop into our heads from time to time, like one of those annoying windows on a website. You know, what do? To get rid of those little annoying windows that pop up on your screen, you don't have to dwell on that. You see that little X up in the corner, the right-hand corner, the upper right-hand corner? You close the window and you move on, you know, and it's just that way of life too. You get rid of that pop-up. And that leads to my third strategy of changing the way we think. And I think this may be some good advice as well. And that is to come up with a list, a to-do list, a to-think list, I call it. I would venture to say that every one of us here has a working to-do list. I've got a honey-do list that's a mile long. And it's a to-do list that I every time I turn around, I'm writing something down, a little to-do list, things I have to do in the run of a day, in the run of a week. And if I don't get at it, and if I don't start checking them off, sometimes it gets me in trouble. But so, we need to do that with our thinking as well. We need to create a to-think list. To-think list. What if you were to itemize several ideas and make it a point to just kind of, you know, repeat them every day? What if you were to say, for example, this morning on my way to work, I will think of all the reasons why I love my spouse, love my wife. What if you were to think about that? Or, I will challenge myself to remember 3 times that God has answered my prayer. That He's a God who answers my prayers every single day. And it's an answer to prayer that I'm even here. That I will think about the most fun our family has had together, and I'm going to think about greater opportunities for more fun, if that's good English, in the days ahead. That I'm going to think about the best qualities of my closest friends. And I'm going to lift them up. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to bless them as much as I can possibly do. That'll be on my to-do list, my think to-do list. That I will think about the gifts that God has given me and the things that I don't even deserve. And I'm going to appropriate those gifts and use them for the very best of His glory. And on and on and on. Think about all those blessings you have today. And think about how can you make better use of the things that God has given you. What if you were to create an itemized to think list and you were to check off these items one by one throughout the day? I think it would give you a better perspective on how things should go. What if you were to decide to become proactive in your thinking? What if America were to become proactive in its thinking? To ensure that every day our minds as Americans are engaged in the most empowering thoughts and ideas, rather than those things that are negative. Can you imagine what would happen? You know, it was interesting in Gorham, where I live, the other day, people were bringing baskets of goodies to the police station. And they were telling police officers how much they were appreciated. I think that's a great thing. Unfortunately, we only do it whenever a tragedy happens. and we don't do it as often as we should. If you see a police officer this week, or an EMT or somebody like that, let them know how much you appreciate them. But this is what the Apostle Paul said, and I'll close with this. Finally, brothers. And when he says finally, you can tell he's starting to wrap things up. It doesn't necessarily mean finally, because the Apostle Paul was pretty long-winded, like I am. Whatever is true, he says. Whatever is noble. Whatever is right. Whatever is pure. Whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about these things. And so he's saying, in effect, make a to-think list, if you would. And what's the result of that? At the very end of this passage, it says, the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be there for you. That you will experience more peace, the peace of God, than anything else in all of creation. It'll be yours. And so this is my challenge for you today. If we're to be healthy Christians, if we're to have a healthy church, my challenge is, changing how we think is not just to try it on for an afternoon and see if it works proposition. It's a process that takes time. You know, just when I quit smoking, when I was 20 years old, my wife told me, well, she wasn't my wife then, she says, it's either those cigarettes or me. And I knew what I wanted, that it was her. And so I had to throw those cigarettes away and get rid of them. And it was not easy. It took a bit of time. I'm talking about settling in for the long haul. You don't lose weight overnight, and you don't get in shape overnight. You don't create financial stability overnight, because it takes time. And the same is true with our thought lives as well. You see, the world has squeezed us into its mold to shape us to think like the world does. And God says, no, that's not liberty. That's not where it's at. That's not fulfillment. So here's my challenge, either mentally or with a pen and paper, make a list of the thoughts and ideas you refuse to entertain over again. The thoughts of jealousy, the thoughts of greed, frustration, fear, hostility, anger, whatever it is, to get rid of those thoughts and have it covered with the blood of Christ. Those negative thoughts will ruin you. And the second part of my challenge is take some time to intentionally create that to think list. And look at all the blessings that God has for you. You see, your life always expresses the result of your dominant thoughts. You didn't think I was going to give you a little bit of a psychology lesson here this morning, did you? But the Bible is full of all of those lessons. And the Bible gives us the best advice in this world. Were you going to say something?
Before you close.
Yeah. Good.
There's a song that I'd love to sing if you
don't
mind. Mm-hmm. And it's about Reyes. And it's about a 12-year-old girl wrote it. I would love to share it if you don't mind.
Come on. Now, this is impromptu, folks. It's not in the bulletin.
This is a song that was written by a 12-year-old girl, and it's about race, and it's about her perception. It's about the death of the Kennedys, Martin Luther King, President Lincoln. And it goes like this. Look at the faces of these innocent people whose dreams were shattered by guns. In God's name, we're all created equal. So why do we have to run? White, black, yellow, and red, we're all the same inside. So why do we simply turn our heads? Is there something we're trying to hide? We should love one another, no matter what race. It's what's inside that matters, not the color of your face. And we should all be friendly, red, yellow, black, and white. It shouldn't be so painful, the races shouldn't fight. Color can only go so far, what matters is in your heart. And you'll always be that shining star if color won't keep you apart. And we should all be friendly, red, yellow, black, and white. It shouldn't be so painful, the races shouldn't fight. No, life shouldn't be so painful, the races should not fight. That was written by my 12-year-old daughter.
Amen.
In 1991.
I don't have anything more to say than that. Let's stand, please, and we're going to sing. May the mind